praying, thanking you can be seated. Take your Bible this morning to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, if you would. Romans chapter 10 in your Bible. Just want to look at a passage of scripture today and preach to you for a little bit. If things go the way I think they will, we'll get out early, okay? But it is dependent upon you listening. If you do not listen as fast as I'm preaching, I have to slow down.
There you go. That's right. Yes, sir.
And so if you'll listen fast, there's a chance we can get out faster, all right? But just want to have a good time in the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Romans chapter 10, verse 14, the Bible says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." We're living in a day where we have gotten a new phrase has come into being, or a new thought, and that is about essential jobs. Essential jobs. And I got to thinking about that in the past, some jobs that were considered essential no longer exist today. For instance, there used to be people who paid, their salary was paid, and their profession was a street sweeper. And they would literally go out and physically sweep the street and clean up the street. You say, well, preacher, we don't need that anymore. We've got mechanical things that will do the same thing. And that's true. So we don't have a street sweeper anymore. A lamp lighter. There was a day when street lights were gas, and people would go around at a certain hour. There were men hired to go, and they'd climb up and light the gas so you'd have a street light. And they were lamp lighters, and that was their job. Obviously, we don't have that anymore. There was a job for a person called a typesetter. A typesetter. They would, before printing, if you're going to print a newspaper, you had to have somebody that would set the type. We don't need that anymore. It's all done computer-driven stuff nowadays. Those of you who are bowlers, there was a time when there was a job for people, and they were pin setters. Pin setters oftentimes used to be, it was teenagers, it would be kids that would do that kind of work, and they would set the pins. Well, now, of course, it's a machine, all right? Machine comes down, drops pins, sweeps them out of the way, and all that kind of stuff. There was even a time when there was a job for people who were elevator operators. Elevator operators. My cousin did that when my brother was in the hospital. After my brother was injured real severely in a car accident, my cousins from Georgia came at that time, and my cousin, he'd ride the elevator, and he would get in the elevator and said, "What floor?" And he'd punch the button for people, all right? And so he was elevator operator there for a little while, but unfortunately he didn't get paid, all right? But so that job's gone, and some of you say, well, man, I don't remember any of that. Well, most of you sitting here old enough to remember when, if you were going to make a long-distance call, you first thing you did is punched zero and waited on the long-distance operator, right? My aunt did that for years. That's what she was. She was an operator for the telephone company. Man, forget that. Those jobs, they're gone. They don't exist anymore. Well, And thinking about that, I got to looking further, and I got to looking what some jobs that they forecast are going to end. And I promised you good news. Here's the good news. I'm serious. I saw this in two or three different sites on the internet, and you know it's got to be true. All right. They're pretty sure these jobs are going to cease within the next 15 years. You'll never believe this. Good news. Telemarketers. They won't be used anymore. Of course, the only part about that is a lot of them are machine operated anyway now, so maybe that's not as good a news as it could be, all right? A lumberjack, any of you are planning to go into that field of work, you might want to rethink that because they think lumberjacks no longer be needed. The retail cashier. Well, you can see that coming. I despise going into a store and having to check myself out. I got aggravated when I had to sack my own groceries and carry them out to the car. Well, now you're going to have to check yourself out, put it in the sack, and then carry it outside, all right? Well, I'm going to resist that as long as I can. I get in, if there's a long line and they got all of those cashiers, self-cashing, I refuse to use them. I absolutely refuse. So why, preacher? Because it's a job for people. Plus, I feel stupid talking to a machine. Don't you? And it's enjoyable to me to go to a store and say, howdy, how you doing? Walmart, and say, how are you doing? I say, man, I haven't time in my life. Here I am at Walmart, right? And get to talk with somebody. How would you feel talking to that machine? How are you doing today? Beep. Well, they say that job's on the way out. Newspaper delivery, on the way out. A librarian, I was a little bit excited about that. Fast food cook. Well, I mean, you can find the robot to put stuff in the microwave and mash button. So, I mean, I don't see, but if you're a fast food cook, you might think about another career, all right? Now, how secure is your career? How secure is your career? Hey, there's one job. There's one job. It's always going to be needed. There's one job's always going to be needed. Now, not necessarily wanted, but always going to be needed. You say, what is it, preacher? Amen. Preacher. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Well, preacher, I'd have known that's the one you would have thought would have been necessary. Wait a minute, I got scripture. I'm not telling you a preacher's always going to be needed because I'm a preacher, because of what the Bible says, all right? So if you have your Bible there, you say, well, why in the world do you think that it's so necessary that a preacher is an essential worker? Well, here's why, all right? Here's why. Because it's necessary, because the Bible says in verse 14, how shall they hear without a preacher? I just want to tell you something. It's necessary people hear the gospel. It is necessary for people to hear the gospel. Just totally necessary. If a preacher's not preaching the gospel, he's not a preacher. Not a preacher. Look at verse 15, all right? Verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach what? The gospel. The gospel. Hey, it's if you're not preaching the gospel, you're not preaching, okay? You're just not doing it. And there's a lot of people, they claim to be preachers, that are not. They don't meet the biblical requirement. Many of them are just, they're constantly giving forth with positive only, you know, platitudes. Constantly positive only. It's all positive. Wait a minute. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to you, two-thirds of that's negative. Death, that's negative. Burial, that's negative. Positive is the resurrection. Two-thirds of it's negative. So if you're going to get up and say, well, I'm just going to give a positive-only message, you can't preach the gospel. Cannot preach the gospel. It's impossible to do it. So the guys that are giving out with the positive-only messages, they're not preachers, all right? Now, you can come up with another word for them, but they're not preachers. That guy that's out there, that individual is out there that's the social issue commentator, he's not a preacher. He's not a preacher. Now, you can comment all you want to on the social issues. Not a problem. Doesn't bother me if you do that. But that's all you're going to do. You're not a preacher. Those that are the self-help doctrine folks. Man, you know, this is how you can help yourself and this will make you the best person you can be. Just want to tell you something, that's not the gospel. That is not the gospel. That's not real preaching. The social change advocates, that's not preaching. That's not preaching. Hey, biblical preaching, and that part that is so necessary is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? It is an absolute necessity. We must have the message of Jesus Christ. We must hear how he died. We must hear how he was buried. We must hear how he rose again. We have to do that. Hey, that's what's necessary to constitute the real biblical preaching of the gospel. If you're not doing that, that's not real Bible preaching on the gospel. But that is a necessity because the Bible says, how shall they hear? How shall they hear? Hear what? They need to hear the gospel. It is a necessity. But the second thing I want you to see, it's necessary to believe the gospel. It's necessary to believe the gospel. It says, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Hey, there's no substitute for believing, but you can't believe until you've heard. You can't believe until you've heard. So I'm telling you, it's a necessity of the preaching. Why? Because the message has to be believed. Has to be believed. Believed by faith, if you will. So believe what? Believe what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what it says. He came to this earth. God himself came to this earth to pay the price for the sin of mankind. That's a necessity. That is a necessity to hear that and to believe that, all right? It must be believed. You've got to understand he came here and he lived a perfect life. Only person to ever do that. Only person to ever do that. You got to understand, this is an individual that as a baby never cried unless there was a reason to cry. Now, babies will cry because they get spoiled. And some of you have spoiled yours. Okay, you spoil them when they're babies because you just want to hold them all the time. Now, it is wonderful to hold and to cuddle those newborns. I love the smell of a baby after they've had their bath and they put that lotion on. There's just no other smell like that, all right? I love that smell. And the only trouble is it doesn't last too long. But anyway, I do love that smell. Hey, listen, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby never cried unless there was a reason. He never disobeyed his parents. Never disobeyed his parents. There's not a single one of us in the room today can say we didn't. Not a single one of us. But he never did. He never did. He never got angry without a cause. Have you ever gotten angry without a cause? I know. Well, I felt like I had a reason. Yeah, but you didn't. But you got angry without a cause. He never did. Never did. Never did. Never did anything like that. Lived a perfect life. Lived a perfect life. And he died a substitutionary death. He died a substitutionary death. He died in our place. He died in my place, died in your place, and he rose in supernatural glory. That's what he did, all right? That message has to be heard, and that message has to be believed. But listen to me, it'll never happen unless a preacher gives the gospel so it can be believed. It never will happen. I'm saying to you that a preacher is essential. He's an essential worker. Why? Necessary to hear the gospel. Not only that, it's necessary to believe the gospel. But when it goes past that, it's necessary to call upon the one that's been heard about. You read there again in verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? They have to call. They have to call. That's personal. Personal. Individual. Now somebody can call the ambulance for you. You do not have to call the ambulance for yourself. I've known of people who were injured severely, that called the ambulance themselves. After the day of cell phone, call the ambulance themselves. But somebody normally calls the ambulance for you, right? We call the ambulance for somebody else, all right? We want that help. But listen, nobody can make this call for somebody else. You can't do it. It's a personal, individual thing. Has to be done. It's calling by faith to receive the truth that's been heard. Look, if you will, Romans chapter 10. Hope you still have your Bible open there. But look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And boy, look at verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hey, listen, there's no simpler, plainer statement of the way to be saved than right here. Than right here in all the Bible. You do not have to be a biblical scholar. You do not have to have a degree in theology. You could be saved never having been in Sunday school, never having been in church service, but you've got to grasp this truth right here and believe it fully by faith. And then if you'll call. But here's the problem. That's not going to happen unless somebody's preached. Unless somebody has preached. Unless somebody has given the message. That person's not going to be able to call because they've not believed the message unless they've heard it. They got to hear it before they can believe it and then call upon the one that can make the difference. But it's available for everybody. For everybody. Whosoever. Whosoever to me is a wonderful word. Wonderful word. I hate it when they say the first 100 shoppers that get here can avail themselves of this special. I don't like those kind of deals. I don't like it. Now some of you people maybe still bear the scars from Black Friday shopping. Because you're just dying to get that bargain. Forget it. Brother Hawkins there, when I got that phone call this morning about the, $100 gift deal I had, and I told him, I said, you know what, I'm not such a bad shape that I'm willing to risk anything to get that $100. I'm not going to do that. It just doesn't mean that much to me. Not going to do it. It doesn't mean that much to me to get an 80-inch screen, flat screen TV, to have to be there at 2 in the morning and fight the crowd. Forget it. Forget it, okay? I'm not interested in that. I'm not going for that. I like it when it says, whosoever. Whosoever. But wait a minute, it never happened unless there's a preacher. Because a preacher has to deliver the gospel so that gospel can be believed and so that call can be made. I want you to notice again there in chapter 10 of Romans, none of that will happen apart from faith. None of that will happen apart from faith. Look at verse 17. Here it is. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Wait a minute. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you got to hear. Somebody's got to preach it to you. You need that faith. Well, where's it coming from? Hearing. Hearing. Somebody's got to preach it, all right? The world cannot do without faith. Do you understand that? The world cannot do without faith. The Bible tells us it's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11. "For without faith, it's impossible to please Him." Impossible to please Him. Hey, wait a minute, I'll tell you something else. Without faith, you cannot be saved. Because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Faith. You can't be saved. You said, "Preacher, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know I am. I had nothing to do with faith." You're not going then. You're not saved. Because the Bible says just the opposite for that. Just the opposite. The Bible says you've got to trust him by faith. You have to believe him. You have to call on him. You cannot receive eternal life without by faith calling upon the Lord and asking for it. And you'll never have that faith unless you hear the word of God. You hear the word of God. You know what? You need a preacher. You know how important preaching is? Let me explain to you how important preaching is. You and I that are believers, we're looking forward to an event. We are excited about the prospects of an event happening that we're longing for. And that is, we're longing to hear the trumpet of God sound. I mean, if you're saved and you're right with God, what you're waiting for is a trump of God to sound and the rapture to take place. We're looking forward to that. But wait a minute. When that comes, every preacher, well, every Bible preacher is going to be gone. Now, there'll still be some here that have the title of preacher. But that's surefire evidence they weren't, okay? Guaranteed. But what I'm saying to you is they'll be gone. So there'll be no preachers here. But I'll tell you how important God says preaching is, because the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, that he's going to send two witnesses. He's going to send two preachers back to this earth. And they're going to preach. And you talk about preach. My goodness. Take your Bible, Revelation chapter 11, all right? Boy, howdy. You talking about, I don't know if I want to be here when they were preaching, okay? Because you just be, I mean, it gets serious, all right? Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, all right? And I will give power unto my two witnesses. It's Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Clothed in sackcloth. Uncomfortable clothing. They're not going to be wearing Hart, Schaffner, and Marks, all right? Not going to be a Brooks Brothers suit. Not going to be anything from Neiman Marcus. The Bible says it'll be dressed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Boy, listen to verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. I'm telling you, buddy, you listening to those guys preach, you better be real clear if you're saying amen, all right? Because you said, preacher, you really believe that? Exactly. I believe it's going to be just like it says. Just like it says. And those fellows are going to preach 42 months. Why? Because God believes preaching's important. God believes preaching's important. So he's going to send preachers back to this earth after all of the other ones and after all the saved are raptured out of here. He'll send somebody back to witness for the Lord so a remnant can be saved. Hey, preaching's important. It's a necessity. A preacher's an essential worker. But let me just talk to you a little bit, all right? It's necessary to have more than just pastor preachers. You see, normally, when we think of preachers, we think of somebody like myself who is a pastor or maybe an evangelist, all right? That's who we think of. But this business of preaching that we've been talking about is not just a man that does what I'm doing right now, standing behind a pulpit on a platform in a church. Truth of the matter is, it's needful to have saved people who know the gospel, who will go and tell the gospel. So what are you getting at, preacher? I mean, you. I mean you. You're saved? Then we're talking to you. You're to be a preacher. Wait a minute. God never called me. Wait a minute. He commissioned you. He did. Now, he didn't call you to pastor a church. Didn't say that. But he's given you the commission to preach. And the truth of the matter is, if you take your New Testament, or you pull a track out of your pocket, you know, and you go in front of somebody and you say to them, listen, I want to talk to you about the Lord. You're preaching. You're preaching. You don't believe it? Go try it. You may not think you are, but other people are going to think you are. Because some of them are going to say, don't preach to me. If you try to give a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody said, don't be trying to teach the Bible to me. No, they say, quit preaching. Because they know what it is. They know what it is. But see, that's what we're all to be involved in, all right? We need people. We call it witnessing. We may call it soul winning, whatever you want to call it. But all that do so are preaching the gospel. One of the reasons this whole world is in such a mess is because we don't have enough people doing it. We don't have enough people to stand up and give that gospel, all right? Can I remind you that one of the greatest sermons in the Bible was preached by a guy who wasn't a preacher? It stirred the crowd up, too. So who was it? Stephen. Stephen wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a preacher. But he stirred the crowd. Now, some of you know your Bible, so wait a minute. I know what happened to him, too. They stoned him. Yeah, preaching's not always popular, okay? It's not always popular. But wait a minute. You hear me. We all have a part in getting this gospel out. And when the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those, right, that preach, he's talking about you and I that'll take this book and witness to people. He's talking about you and I that'll go out and try to tell somebody how to get saved. Hey, the primacy, if you will, of preaching. It's an essential job. Now, the problem is there's not enough doing it. There's too many people, silent witnesses. That means they don't witness. But we're to witness. Now, relax, okay? You don't have to go to the restaurant this afternoon. If you're going to eat, you know, you don't have to go to the restaurant and either before your meal or after your meal, step into the chair and then up on the table and say, I don't want everybody's attention. Just got a few words for you today. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go to the ballpark and stand on the picnic table and start preaching. You don't have to do that. But boy, what we need to be involved in is one-on-one. Just trying to find somebody and let them know how good the Lord's been to you. And tell them about His goodness and His blessing and how He saved your soul. Man, there's so many ways. There's so many ways to get started. Somebody said, how you doing today? Man, doing great. How's the world treating you? Oh, the world's beat me up like everything. But God sure has been good. Let me tell you. And just launch into it. I mean, there's a lot of ways, a lot of things you can do. But just one-on-one, just get the gospel out. Preach this book. Now, got a question and I'm done, okay? Got a question. Has preaching done you any good? Has preaching done you any good? Preacher, what kind of question is that? Well, it's a question I want you to think about. There's a lot of people that heard but didn't heed. Didn't heed. Oh, they heard, but they never heeded. There's a lot of people that listened, but they didn't learn. They didn't learn. There's a lot of people that got concerned, but they would never commit. And I'm telling you, if you never heeded, you never learned, and you never committed, then it's not done you any good. It's not done you any good. Listen, you can come in here and hear the great, and not from me, because I ain't the greatest preacher in the world, but whoever he is, or if you came and you come in here and hear the greatest preacher in the world, but if you walked out that door without committing anything, then it did you no good. Did you no good. There's a multitude of people today that have heard. Let me invite your attention back to Romans chapter 10, would you? Romans chapter 10. Just look, all right? And verse 18 said, but I say, have they not heard? Yes. Verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Oh, yeah, Israel knew. Israel knew. It says, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy. Isaiah, in verse 20, was very bold, all right? Hey, they heard, but they didn't heed. They didn't heed. I'm going to tell you what, I've stood and preached to a lot of people that never, they heard, but they didn't heed. And they never changed their life. And I want to tell you this morning, all right? I just want to tell you, don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the preacher. It's the easiest thing in the world to blame the guy. You've got to hear. You've got to listen on purpose. You've got to believe, and then you've got to act on what you believe. It's one thing to hear and believe, but if you never act on it, you've not done anything. You know, I've had people tell me that I've witnessed to and sat down with them, and I started down and began to talk to them, and they said, Preacher, I believe I'm a sinner. I know I am. I know I've sinned. I know that. And I said, do you believe Jesus Christ died for you? I do believe that. I believe it. I sure do. I believe what you said. I believe what the Bible says there. I said, do you believe if you'd call upon him by faith and trust him and ask him, he'd save your soul? I believe that. I do. Well, would you do it? Well, not right now. They heard. They believed. But as far as I know, they're headed to hell. They never acted. Never acted on it. I just want to be honest with you. You can hear the truth and you can accept the truth and believe the truth. But until you act on the truth, it doesn't change your life. Makes no difference for you. But if you will, you know what? You can be saved. You can have eternal life. I believe Romans 10:13 when it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe it means that. I believe it means that right then. That moment. That moment you believe by faith and you call by faith, he'll save your soul. Boom. In that instant. I believe it. But I'll tell you this, my friend. I believe he can change your life that same way. I believe he can change it. And by the way, I believe this. I believe you can enjoy eternal life now. Far too many people have trusted, you know, their view of eternal life is, well, that kicks in when you die. No. The truth of the matter is, you get saved, it ought to kick in right there. But a lot of God's people don't seem to be enjoying it too much. Because we've decided I don't have to do what he says. I'll listen, but I won't learn. I'll hear and won't heed it, though. And I'll be concerned, but I'm not committing. Preacher, I just don't want to make a commitment. What a mistake. Hey, I'm telling you, preaching is essential. It's essential. But what good has it done you? What good has it done you? What can you put your finger on in your life, say, Preacher, this is where it made a change for me. This is what's changed. If it's not, it's not the preacher's fault. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. So what do you need to do? What do you need to do? Would you stand, please, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us today to just be honest with ourselves first. Lord, honest with ourselves and then honest with you, that we might really examine ourselves and see what preaching's done for us. Lord, you've said it's essential. They'll not call upon him in whom they have not heard, and they'll not hear without a preacher. Well, Lord, far too many have heard but have never heeded. They've never done anything. Lord, would you just help us to examine ourselves? Lord, maybe there's somebody here this morning who's heard the truth of the gospel, but has never gotten saved. Never called upon you and asked you to save them. Lord, I pray that person gets saved today. Lord, if they're listening through YouTube, that they'd get saved. They'd call upon you today. By faith and just simply ask you to forgive them for being a sinner and to save their soul. But Lord, maybe there's some listening, some here, been saved. They've heard a lot of preaching about how to live, but they've never committed to live right. Lord, would you help us to make that change today? Do a work in hearts and lives, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing this morning, page 381, Jesus is calling. He's tenderly calling thee home. Listen, my friend, if he's speaking to you, you need to come. Would you come do business with God this morning? Whatever your need is, the altar's open. Would you come while we sing? Come on.